Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4. As a child, I used to have real bad nosebleeds, and so every time it scares me now. People used to ask me, why you always carry a handkerchief because you cry so much? No. Now you know. So you might not want to borrow my handkerchiefs. Or anybody's at that point, right? And so I apologize for that, but anyway, glad to see the Jameses here with their new baby tonight. That's always exciting. It's a good way to grow a church. Some of y'all need to get on board. Yeah, I know. I mean, we'll call you Sarah if we have to, so that's all right. I do appreciate the Lord gifting our church with new babies, and it is exciting. Hebrews chapter 4, I'll be there in a minute. We're going to start a series on prayer, and really we have entitled it Prayer, Fellowship with the Father. And we'll look at the definition of prayer here in a moment. But tonight we're going to talk about the path up to prayer, the path of prayer. How do we get there? How do we get to the point where we can pray? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. It's very simple tonight because Jesus Christ paved that path. It's not something you work for necessarily. We'll talk about all those things. But the number one thing you got to be able to pray is to be saved. Amen. And I'll talk about that here in a few weeks, about the problems of prayer. We're going to cover the path, the pattern, the power, and the problems of prayer 4 weeks. And so we'll try to get right into tonight. I want to give you a few quotes to start off with. I don't know exactly where this one came from, but it says, no one ever graduates from the school of prayer. Isn't that true? There's nobody here tonight that if you were to die and we put you in the casket, we couldn't put on there, he prayed too much or she prayed too much. That would not be any of us tonight. None of us can ever graduate from that school of prayer. Here's what John R. Rice said. John R. Rice said, prayerlessness is the worst sin a Christian can commit because it reveals his lack of enjoyment of God. Wow. Leonard Ravenhill, this is a couple quotes from him. I thought these were pretty good. It says, the true man of God is heartsick, grieved at the worldliness of the church, grieved at the tolerance of sin in the church, grieved at the prayerlessness in the church. He is disturbed that the corporate prayer of the church no longer pulls down the strongholds of the devil. Leonard Ravenhill said this also. He said, this one here, I love this one because it talks about choir. It says, our spiritual immaturity never shows up more than in our lack of praying, but it alone or in a church prayer meeting. Let 20% of the choir members fail to turn up for rehearsal and the choir master is offended. Let 20% of the church members turn up for a prayer meeting and the pastor is elated. Isn't that true? And one of the most lacking parts of any church, one of the most lacking parts of any Christian life is the area of prayer. It is something that we have and we yet don't use it. What is prayer? Well, what is prayer? I'll give you this. Prayer is to implore, to beseech, to bring about, get by praying, to make supplication, say prayers as to God. Prayer, that was pray. This is prayer. The act of praying, an earnest request as to God, a devotional service consisting chiefly of prayers. But in simple definition, here's what prayer is. It is fellowship with the Father. If you want a fellowship with your family, it is spelled T-I-M-E, right? But it's spent communicating with one another. And one of the greatest breakdowns of marriages today is the lack of communication. But also, the lack of communication between us and God brings about a breakdown in our Christian lives also. In Hebrews chapter 4, I want to give you this. And also the next one up there, I'll give you this acrostic. I know Pastor gives it a lot. But here's just a simple acrostic. I came across another part of the A there, and I'll give that to you. But pray, just the acrostic is praise, repent. That's how we ought to come. We ought to come before His presence, the psalmist said, with thanksgiving, with praise. That's the way we ought to come before Him. And we'll notice that when we look at the pattern of prayer put out by the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we ought to come before Him praising Him and thanking Him for who and what He is. And by the way, we miss out a lot. I was in a meeting not too long ago, and it was on prayer, and the message was on prayer. And one thing he kept saying about prayer that I really haven't thought about, and matter of fact, Brother Lattice speaking on that tonight, is adoration, is adoring Him. We sing a Christmas song, "Oh, let us come and what? Adore Him." That's what we ought to do in our prayer. Well, the second thing is repent. We got to get cleaned up. We got to ask Him to forgive us. Why? Because we're sinful people. By the way, I can pray and 5 minutes later have to go back to Him and repent again. None of y'all have that problem. And then the third thing is ask, or the access that we have. By the way, if you want to go a little further, it's ask for others and then for self. By the way, I'm going to be preaching tomorrow at a fellowship meeting. One thing I've been studying is the selfishness of the world we live in. It's all about you. It's all about you. We've been taught that from kids now. Little Johnny, it's all about you. You're the best at everything you've ever done. You'll never do anything wrong. And then when they grow up, when a cop pulls them over, well, I'm not guilty. It's your fault. Right? We see that. Call something there. Yield. By the way, I believe this is one part that we all lack on. It's once we praise Him, once we repent of our sins, once we ask and gain that access to the throne room of God, we ought to yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him speak to us. Sometimes we're so, you know, what would it be like if you went to your child and you were having a great conversation with them and you just got up, walked off after you said your child's wanting to respond back to you. You miss what He would say back to you, the yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. Now, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, I want us to look at this. It's quite a few verses, but we must look at it tonight. The Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Aren't you thankful for that? That's why He could be your high priest. By the way, the reason you can't be the high priest without Christ is that you have sin. And we'll talk about that in a little while. But notice what he says, verse 16. He says, because we have, verse 14, seeing we have a great high priest. By the way, that's the only time that's ever said about anybody. There's Aaron the priest. There's Melchizedek the priest. But the Bible says here, seeing that we have a great high priest. That's the only time that word is used, great high priest. And that's pointing to Christ. But notice verse 16. Because of Him, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I'll give you just a little tidbit. In the Old Testament, when the high priest would enter in once a year into that holy place, he would go representing the people before God. He was also representing himself before God. He was there asking for forgiveness for a nation and also for himself. But you know where he would make that sacrifice? It's called the throne or the mercy seat. It's the mercy seat. It was covered. It was not seen by the other people's eyes. The Jews that are there, only the high priest would see that mercy seat. But now it says, "Come boldly before the throne of grace." The throne of grace is a lot different. Why? Because the throne of grace is where everybody can come. You don't have to go through a priest. Hallelujah. You don't have to call Brother Crawford and say, "Hey, I need you to get a hold of God for me." You can get a hold of God. Now, I'm all for calling as many people as you can, but I'm saying that you right now can get on your knees and talk to a holy God because Jesus Christ made the path for you to prayer. He gained that access for you. And notice what it says, and may obtain mercy. There's mercy and grace in this place. Now, notice what he says, grace to help in time of need. Now, verse 1 of chapter 5 says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmities." In other words, if you have a high priest, he's taken a man. He is a man. He's all man, right? He's not half God and half man, but God was all God and he was all man. So he could stand in the place of me and you, and he could yet be God at the same time, representing God to man and man to God. Now notice what else it says. Verse 3 it says, "And by reason hereof, he ought as for the people
so also for himself to offer for sins. Verse 4 says, and no man taketh his honor unto him, but he that calleth his God was Aaron. Verse 5 says, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. Jesus didn't make himself a high priest. He was appointed a high priest by the Father. Now notice verse 6, it says, and he saith also in another place, thou art a priest. Now notice the wording, forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, the great thing about Melchizedek, if you study the after the order of Melchizedek, that simply means it's an eternal order. Melchizedek didn't have any end of days. He didn't have any beginning of days. Just like Jesus in his reign as high priest, and we're going somewhere, is that as the reigning high priest today, Jesus has no end to his reign. Why? Because if he had an end to his reign, then we would have a day where we would go, uh-oh, we don't have anybody representing us. But guess what? Because he's after the order of Melchizedek, it's an eternal priesthood in which he has. Notice what, well, let's read verse 7. Who in the days, actually, I'll stop at verse 6. Let's stop there. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night. And God, I need your help now. Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, just be in my mind. Lord, just calm me down. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd just hide me behind your cross tonight. And Father, I pray that as we talk about such an important subject in your word, and Father, I pray that we would take it to heart. And God, we'd, Lord, just be honest before you, and Lord, realize we don't spend enough time in prayer and asking and begging and repenting and, Lord, praising you for who and what you are. And so I need your help tonight to relay this message, and Lord, in this series, that it would touch the hearts of each one here tonight. Lord, I love you and I thank you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me give you a few things tonight about this path. This path is a passage. Number one, it is a passage, all right? So it is a passage. It is a passage. Why? Because we have a great high priest. The passage is opened by Jesus Christ. When he tore the veil down, he opened a passageway for me and you to enter into the very throne room of God. Some of you didn't get that. When you pray, you get to enter into the very presence of a holy God. You get to enter into the very throne room of God. And folks, listen to me. All of us here tonight have at times or even now are very flippant about our prayer life, but it's time to see the seriousness of it. It's time to get on our knees and realize when we get on our knees and we ask God, there is a passage that has been opened for me and you to go right before the Heavenly Father. And to speak to Him. Wow. There's people that are all over this world that if there was a certain actor walking here and you could talk to them, you'd be, oh. How many people passed out for just seeing Elvis during the day? Some of y'all remember him, right? Uh-huh. Right? Some of y'all remember him. I mean, you see all that mess on TV. I mean, that people passing out because Elvis walked by them and all these things. And yet, when it comes to prayer, we're like, well, I guess I'll pray. I can't do anything else. Is that the attitude we ought to have? I mean, there's been a passage that has been open for you so you can pray to a holy God. How did that happen? Well, it happened when Jesus went like this. And when that spear went like this and the blood went like that, and when Jesus went like that and when Jesus went like that, He's ever at the right hand of God on high making intercession for us. Folks, I'm telling you, we got to get back to, here's what Matthew 21:13 says, and Jesus was talking unto basically the religious crowd. He said, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it into a den of thieves. Listen to me. Jesus said, I want my, by the way, not one time in the Word of God will you ever see where Christ said, I want my house to be a house of preaching or a house of singing. He said, I want my house to be a house of prayer. Amen. By the way, we're to be instant in season, out of season. I believe that. We're to be ready to give a man any answer, but the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Folks, there's going to come a time in your life where you're going to need God. Amen. But can I remind you that every day you need Him? I'm glad God's a 911 service. But also, He's just a God who waits to talk to you. By the way, we'll talk about this later. God is not impressed with long prayers and fancy prayers. God's not impressed with that stuff. If I walked up to Brother Cox tonight and I used some big old fancy words to him, he'd be like, what's wrong with you? Number one, I don't know that many of them.
So 5 words into it, I'd be done. But what Brother Cox would be, would enjoy is just me talking to him as a friend to a friend. And as me talking to my Heavenly Father. Wanting just to speak with my Heavenly Father. The passage. There is a passage. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." God, through Jesus Christ, has opened that wall of partition so we could come boldly before the throne of God. In the Old Testament, we see many people who were mediators. We see that in the Old Testament, we see where Abraham was a mediator. Abraham mediated for his nephew Lot. Remember when he went before and they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham went before God and he said, "Oh, would you spare it if there's 100, if there's," and he kept going down and he said, "Lord, would you spare them?" And listen, God didn't spare Sodom and Gomorrah, but he did spare Lot. Listen, the children of Israel should have been destroyed a long time ago, but because there was one who opened a passageway called Moses. By the way, Moses was such a great man. I mean, they had just crossed over the Red Sea. Woo-hoo! Hallelujah! We're thirsty. I would to God, we'd back here in Egypt eating the leeks and all that stuff over there. Right? That's what they said. They murmured and complained. And the water's bitter. We ain't got no food. I know that's why they were independent Baptists. They complained the whole time about food and water. Amen? And guess what Moses did? He went to God on their behalf. When he came down off of Mount Sinai, he found the associate pastor. Those associate pastors, you got to watch them. Aaron, the high priest, was down there worshiping a golden calf. And the only reason God didn't strike them all dead was because Moses interceded for the people. Whether God was using them or whether God was using the high priest in the Old Testament to intercede for the people of God. God has always had a passage. Number two, not only is the path a passage into the presence of God, but number two, it is a privilege. There's a song I got to hear. I was in music college this last week, and one of the songs is written by Brother Ron Hamilton, and he was there, and they sang this song. We sang this song. And here's what it says: "What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. Bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on His throne, see Him high and lifted up and bow the knee. Kneel before Him, all adore Him. As you live to love Him more, bow the knee." Folks, I'll tell you what, is that it is a privilege to come before Holy God and pray. By the way, never think that you're a Pharisee and go, "All right, God, I'm fixing to bless your presence." You ever meet people like that? They think, man, they're just God's gift to whatever. And you're like, wow. But listen, when we come before the presence of God, that's a privilege. It is a privilege that we have. By the way, I thought about this. When there's a privilege, there's usually a sacrifice or someone who suffered for that privilege. This morning, we had chapel in here. We said the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag. That's a privilege to live in America. If you don't think it is, there's boats and planes leaving every day. If you don't want to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, go find a country where you can agree with them and stand up and say it with them. I wouldn't watch Kaepernick play football if it was the last thing on the earth. Let him sit down. Yeah, amen. Don't get me started. Then we said the pledge to the Christian flag. How many people have died so we could have the Christian freedoms in this world? Then we said the pledge to our Bible. How many men and women died at the stake? How many people were burned to death because of having a Bible in their hand? By the way, the people that were angry that we had a Bible were the Catholics. Hello? They were mad because people were figuring out the truth. Saw a thing the other day, or maybe it was today, somebody posted Joel Osteen jumping off the stage into the front pew and closing the Bible. He was afraid somebody was going to open their Bible. I didn't write it. Somebody said, "And find out the truth." So anyway, y'all look that one up. I didn't say, I'm just saying what I heard. But listen, is that why do we neglect such a great privilege that we have? I can tell you that when when my grandparents were dying, I don't have any living grandparents, but I can tell you that my grandparents, when they were dying, one of the greatest privileges I had was to be able to spend time with them. Whether right before they died and when I was there when she died. What a privilege that was for me. By the way, just because I'm a called man of God, so to speak, called into the ministry, I don't have the right to stand up here before you. I have the privilege to stand before you tonight. By the way, when we come before God and we pray, it's such a privilege. It's such a privilege that you have and I have. And sometimes we take it for granted the privileges we have as a Christian to walk into the very throne room of God and to say, Father, I have a need today. Father, I have a friend of mine. I have a brother. I have a sister who's going through this. And Lord, what a privilege it is to come before you today and to ask you of this petition that I have. Listen to me. I believe it's such a joke sometimes as a Christian. We think just because we got a Bible, we're right with God. We think just because we got a King James Bible, man, I'm a man of God. Got a King James Bible. But it don't do you no good if you just carry it around. You got to read it. You say, well, I got a prayer list. That prayer list is no good unless you pray. Amen. I have to write things down. If I don't write it down, I'll forget. If you come to me and say, Brother Wiggins, will you pray for so-and-so? I usually turn around and get on my phone and put it in my prayer list on my phone. I have a prayer list on my phone. All of our family has a prayer journal. I would highly suggest that, is that all of us in the family have a prayer journal, and we write things in there, and we date it, and we also write the date when it was answered. I keep my prayer list in my Bible because that's when I pray. Usually I have my Bible with me. But also I have it in my phone, a lot of things in my phone that I if I'm going down the road and you get in traffic, hey, why don't you pray for somebody? Why don't you say, Lord, would you be with Miss Pat Shepherd today? I'm glad I can be in my car and go to the throne room of God. But just because you have a prayer list doesn't mean anything. The privilege is whenever you open it and you call out that name. When you're praying for Miss D and when you're praying for Miss Pat, when you're praying for Miss Elaine, when you're praying for Brother Crawford and Miss Tanya, when you're praying for Caleb, when you're praying for our staff, when you're praying for our Christian school, when you're praying for your wife, when you're praying for your kids, that's a privilege that you have. As a father, you have the greatest privilege of all. By the way, dads, you can raise your kids to be men, know how to work on vehicles. You can raise your kids even in church. But if you're not praying for your kids, you're not really a father. I know that's going to hit us all right in the heart, isn't it? Met a preacher many, many years ago. His wife died. They had 8 children, I believe it was. And this was later on. His wife had died of cancer right after the last child was born, or she had some kind of, I forgot what it was. But the man preached, and all of his kids were all grown. This is many years later, obviously. And all of his kids were in the ministry. And he was preaching on prayer, and he said this. He said, how did my kids turn out the way they did? He said, every day, no less than 25 times I would call each kid's name out before the Lord. He said, that's all I knew how to do. He said, I didn't know how to raise these kids. Well, if I lost my wife, I'd be in trouble. Poor kids, they would just be like, what do we wear? What do we eat? We'd be thanking the Lord for McDonald's. I'd be at a loss. By the way, even with my wife, I'm still at a loss. And every day I had to go before the Lord and say, Lord, would you be with Shelby? Will you be with Brody and Bailey and Donya? Every day of my life. Why? Because I have the privilege as a father, as a Christian, as a dad. You want to know why your marriage is not working out? Maybe you're not praying enough for it. Maybe why your kids are not acting right? It's because you're maybe not praying enough. The last thing tonight is, the third thing is, the path is not only a privilege and a passage, but it's priestly, and I'll explain that. You as a child of God have entered into the priestly office also. The Bible says that in Romans 8:17, it says, and if a child, then heir of God, and joint heir with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, we may be also be glorified together. In other words, if we're joint heirs with Christ, we share in that same office that He has. But we don't have to Folks, I don't know about you, but it scares me to death to have to go into a telephone booth and to tell some strange man about my life. Hello, you know what I'm talking about? Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned, and all your Hail Marys and whatever else you got to do. It's amazing that they always tie money to stuff. Amen. Catholic Church is smart, my friend. You pay people out of hell, and you pay yourself Yeah, oh man, that's a big sin. You better pray for that one. I'm glad it don't cost me anything to go to my Father and say, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll give you a couple more verses. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. Listen, we are called to be priests in our families. Daddies, listen, I said this earlier, we ought to be the high priest of our family, praying for our families every day. Dads, I've told this story so many times, but it never gets old. I know my mom's watching tonight, and she would agree with me. Is that my grandmother was one of the most prayingest ladies I knew. My grandfather on my dad's side got saved later in life. He was like in his 50s before he got saved. And I'm telling you, he became one of the greatest prayer warriors I ever saw. When he died, I took his Bible out of the cupboard there that he had right beside his chair. And in that was all the names of his grandkids and great-grandkids and his kids and people at church. My grandfather was in a wheelchair in the last few years of his life. You know what he was at the church? He was a greeter. He'd park his wheelchair right in front of the door, hold it open, and greet people as they came by. But my grandfather, one of the greatest ministries he had, one of the greatest ministries my grandmother had, was that they prayed for other people. My grandmother told me this one time. She says, Michael, I pray for you because I don't know if anybody else is. In other words, she was saying, I don't depend on somebody else to do what I should be doing. Listen, dads, if you don't pray for your kids, who is? If you're not praying for your wife, husband, listen, who is? Wife, if you're not praying for your husband, then who is? Don't let somebody else do your job. It's a privilege, yes, but also you have a priestly ministry to be on your knees before God. John chapter 17, you can read it later, verses 1 through 26. It's the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. By the way, it is the prayer of Christ. That where He prays, and guess what He does? He prays for us. By the way, He prayed for His enemy. And He prayed for us in the high priestly prayer. He called out to the Father and fellowship with Him and prayed for others. Listen to me tonight. The privilege of prayer, the passage of prayer, and the priestliness of prayer tonight is that we get to get on our knees and pray for somebody else. We live in a generation where 2 Timothy tells us that, and it starts off this whole list of things, that men will be lovers of themselves. And then it lists all the things of proof of that. Listen, the problem with us today is that we love us too much. But Jesus taught a different story, didn't He? Jesus said you ought to love others more than you love yourself. Wow. You know how I know that if you love me, and if you know how I love you, is that if I pray for you. Sometimes we put the scale of friendship and fellowship on, have they got something they can give me? My parents were always separated as I was a child. I lived in a lot of different places, but there was a time where I was living with kinfolk. And I always picked the kinfolk that had stuff. And the one I lived with the longest was my cousin, my aunt, my mom's sister. And she only had one child, so I figured, hey, what's another one? Need to bless her. Well, they had a bass boat, four-wheelers, three-wheelers, mopeds. I mean, they had all the toys. I didn't really like my cousin, to be honest with you. And he's a preacher nowadays, too. He got saved and got on with his life. I really didn't like him, to be honest with you. My wife can tell you that. But I liked what he had. So that allowed my friendship and fellowship to be a part of that family for a long time. And plus, he had a waterbed. We used to love the waterbed. Right? Anyway, until they get a hole in them. He had Nintendos. I mean, they had every cable channel you could have. I mean, they had everything a child would ever want. Guns. I mean, everything. But see, that's not true friendship and fellowship. It's not, you have all this stuff, so I'm going to be your friend. It's no, Christ died for me and Christ died for you. And I, as a child of God, I'm going to take the privilege of prayer and I'm going to pray for you. Listen tonight. Miss Pat Shepherd's dependent on us to pray for her. Tonight, Miss Bobby Van Fleet is depending on us to pray for her. You say she can't pray for herself? Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you what. The Bible says where two or three are gathered there, he's in the midst, right? But also the Bible says where we agree on one thing. And we agree that we want God to heal people, right? We agree on that. And how can two walk together unless they agree? And we need to agree on some things. And that was the part of revival in the 1800s, is that people wanted to see revival. And how did they do that? Did they get these great preachers and orators? No, they began to pray. And during the 1800s, you read some of the greatest prayers that were ever spoken. And what happened? God sent revival. Why? Because people got to praying. Matter of fact, I think it's almost scriptural that if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. We'll look at that verse later, but we ought to be a praying nation. We ought to be a praying people. We have that access. Why don't we use it? You know, wouldn't it be something that if we sat down for supper tonight and your wife had fixed you a big old ribeye steak, it's perfectly cooked with a baked tater over there and whatever else you like, apple pie with vanilla ice cream melting over it, glass of sweet tea, hallelujah. You walk in there and you say, oh, man, I think I'm going to eat some potted meat today. You'd be a fool, wouldn't you? As much as I like potted meat, I'd rather have the steak. But as Christians, too many times we settle for something over here, and God has something great waiting on us here. The reason we have not is because you ask not. That's it. That's what the Bible says. He says, you knock, you seek. He said, he'll open it. The problem is we don't pray. We're not a praying people anymore. You know why I think we're not a praying people? Because we got credit cards. We got mom and daddy that's got money. We got cars that run now. Amen. We'll have to walk anywhere. I mean, why do we need God? Well, we need him. Well, wait a minute. We need him if something real bad happens. But man, don't just go to him when bad things happen. Stay in constant fellowship with him. Just fellowship with the Father. It's amazing that great and mighty things he'll show you, and those things that the direction he wants to give you in life and the encouragement he wants to give you is found when we kneel in prayer. Folks, I have this prayer list. Does no good, the names that are written in here, unless I begin to call out Jake and Betty Minnick. I call out Treva Davis, Virginia Slate. I say, Lord, you know the need. A lot of these, I don't know what their need is. I don't have to know, because I got a God that knows. You say, well, if God already knows, then why are we praying? Because he wants us to fellowship with him. My wife already knows a lot of things about me. She knows I love her. She likes me to tell her too, though. Right? Listen, we ought to just spend time tonight and just fellowship with him. Let's stand, if you will. The invitation tonight is pretty simple. A sweet hour of prayer. If we sung that song truthfully, it'd be a sweet minute of prayer. Sweet minute of prayer that calls me from a world of care. Hymn 113 in your hymn book, if you'll look at that with me. Let's sing that out tonight. If you need to come, use the altar, then we'll certainly would invite you to do that. Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Bless this invitation, Lord, tonight. God, we thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. God, the access that we have to the throne room tonight. Lord, love you and ask that you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.